when I was meeting with her, it was just a really sweet, I felt like God ordained meeting, because she said, you know, like this whole next year, we're really trying to focus on partnering with churches, because we see there are support systems there that can keep the turnaround rate of foster parents low. And that's really what they see a lot. And I just thought that was so crazy that I'm sitting in this like government building and this big government agency is talking about how they see success in partnering with the church.
You're listening to Vintage Stories. I'm Jennifer Murphy.
And I'm Michael Murphy. Today we're sitting down with Meg and David Dagenhart. They're going to tell us about their adoption story.
In listening to this, we're really challenged to think about how we can all get involved in the foster program or in adoption. It's not just for adoptive parents, and it's not just for those involved directly in the foster care system. It's about the whole church, and none of us are bystanders, and these kids are all part of our family, and there's something we should all be doing.
Yeah, God has called us to love on others, and there is a pretty big need for children that are defenseless, that need a helping hand. They need some people to come around and show them love and compassion. And that's such a great place for a church community to rally around and help support. And there's a lot of different ways to get involved. And so in this episode, we're going to discuss that. And I'm really glad they came in to sit down with us. So let's go ahead and get started.
We're here with Meg and David Dagenhart. Do you guys want to just tell us a little bit about your story, how you got to Vintage, how long you've been here, how long you've been in Raleigh?
Yeah, my name's David, and I've been in Raleigh for about 17 years now. I came to college here at NC State and been here all that time. Meg actually came here in 2010, and we met working together at NC State with a campus ministry.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, we've both been in the area for quite a while and been at Vintage now for, I guess, about 5 years almost.
We know that you guys have a son that you adopted and that you've gotten involved in Wake County Human Services and the foster care program. And I'm just would love to hear about your story. Like, how did this all get started?
After we had been married about 5 years, we were like, well, maybe we could start a family.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the natural thing is to say, well, we're going to try to have biological kids. But I had kind of a social work background. I had a lot of adoption in my family and always kind of felt adoption on my heart. So honestly, at first, we were like, let's maybe try for biological kids and start the adoption process and see whichever one happens first. But then pretty immediately, we're like, no, we want to adopt. Let's go for adoption.
Yeah.
Let's be intentional about adoption.
How long is that process?
Well, it was kind of abnormal with him. We only waited 2 weeks.
Oh, no kidding.
To get a phone call him. So it is kind of funny. The paperwork process to when we were called about him was about 9 months, which is kind of funny. But
yeah.
But yeah, from the minute that we were done with everything to when we were called, it was 2 weeks. So it was very sudden.
So your pregnancy of 9 months was a little bit easier.
yes.
This is paperwork.
Which
sometimes can be a bear. So
it was a lot, but yeah.
So did you have the baby room all painted and everything? That's like a big thing, right? Like everybody's like, oh, I don't know, the room's not done. Can't have this baby yet, right?
Yeah.
So like same situation. Were you guys expecting it? You know, kind of like nesting for the.
Yeah, well, that's part of the. Like we said, it was 2 weeks from the time we were officially waiting until. Mm. We received a call about ASA, but the months leading up to that with just information sessions and home studies, like people would come to our house and, you know, look around and you talk about the things that you needed or were expected to have. And by the time we were waiting, the expectation was clear that we needed to be prepared anytime. So, you know, even if we waited 6 months, our stuff in room would have been, basically ready to go. You know, got a diaper bag packed. It might have dust on it if you wait a while, but dust it off and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
So you really got a lot of support from the agency. I think maybe a lot of people might be intimidated, like not knowing anything about the process of adoption and like, I have to know something. So is your agency, you said there's some trainings and stuff. What kind of topics did they talk about at some of those different sessions or trainings and home studies?
A lot of the talk is about just first of all, recognizing that raising a child that is adopted is different than a biological child. There's going to be different things that can present themselves. You don't know a lot of history. There could be developmental things from different situations. And like for us, Ace is biracial, so we're a transracial adopted family. So there's also trainings on that, us, you know, educating ourselves on things that he's going to face in his life that we're not going to face, things that we haven't faced, and how to be ready for that, and looking at our community and see if our community is representative of who he is, if he can look in our friend group and see people that look like him, just different things like that they're talking with you about. And they're also talking about closed and open adoptions. They're talking about ethical adoptions, how to make sure that everyone in the adoption triad, the child, the birth family, and the adoptive family, are being ethical and respecting one another. And so it's very informative, and they are very available. But I'd even say, even outside of our agency, when we started on this journey, we tried to put ourselves in spaces to educate ourselves from people that voices maybe aren't heard as much. And so, like, Facebook groups with, like, adoptees or with birth moms. And those are often voices that are kind of silenced in the adoption world, because they can sometimes have negative viewpoints because their adoption had negative aspects of it. And so so we did do a lot of that, because we know we can't be perfect parents, but we're hopeful that when Asa grows up and he looks back on how his story unfolded, that he's had a positive experience,
a life journey,
from our end,
yeah,
in regards to his adoption story. To know how to do that, we had to put ourselves in some uncomfortable spaces. People that are against adoption as adoptees, or, you know, against how things are done now as birth moms or things like that. But to want to listen to them and hear from them and learn from them and see, like, how we could not do those things, and how we could be the best we could be.
Instead of just pushing out the bad, you're like, well, let me hear where it's coming from so I can learn something from it.
Right.
But that was part of the learning experience as well for you.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Yeah.
How about your faith? How did that play a role in your desire to adopt instead of, I mean, what role did that play?
You know, just the idea of the gospel, when we look at that and we can see, in scripture, there's instances, I guess, in the adoption world where I've heard people make the connection of, you know, well, the language used in the New Testament of we are adopted into God's family as his children, and then kind of turn that to be, okay, well, that, you know, we can imitate God by being willing to do that as well. And I think that can give a good perspective for maybe being more willing to think about other people. But to me, that's kind of where the analogy ends. Obviously, we're not saviors. Adoptive parents are not saviors. And I think when I personally think about my faith, or just scripture tied to it, just broadly speaking, like just Philippians 2, just the idea of putting others' needs before yourself. Having the Holy Spirit in my life brought me to a place to see, well, this is, you know, we live in a broken world, and there's a need in our society for parents in different situations, and even beyond just adoption, just situations that can lead up to even an adoption being necessary. It's just great to want to be in a place where we could do something to help those people, to resource them, whether it's actually being a parent or helping out their situation in another way to help them parent. That was a big thing.
Kind of prepared you to put love on your heart to want to do something that where you could fulfill a need in the community.
So I was a social work major at Appalachian, and I did school social work for a little bit right out of college. And so we had worked with the foster care system some. And then I went straight to crew staff, but then more recently I got sworn in as a guardian ad litem for Wake County, which is a position in the foster care system. And you're basically an advocate for the foster child. So when a child is placed, pretty immediately they're assigned a guardian ad litem. And my role is to just be for that child. I don't hear anyone else's voices but theirs, and just advocating for them that they end up in the best space that they could be in for their safety and for their well-being. And there's actually a couple of other girls here at Vintage who are also guardian ad litems. Oh, nice. And so that's how I kind of got into like the Wake County world of it. And then a couple of months ago, I met with one of the social workers at Wake County Human Services just to kind of see what their needs were, what was going on in our county. And they really desperately need foster families. And when I was meeting with her, it was just a really sweet, I felt like God ordained meeting, because she said, you know, like this whole next year, we're really trying to focus on partnering with churches, because we see there are support systems there that can keep the turnaround rate of foster parents low. And that's really what they see a lot. And I just thought that was so crazy that I'm sitting in this like government building and they're, this big government agency is talking about how they see success in partnering with the church.
Yeah, if you don't mind telling us a little bit more about the Wake County Human Services and what they do in the community.
Yeah, so Wake County Human Services, what we'll be working with is foster care system. And in Wake County, there's about 600-ish kids in the system. Okay. And about 200 of those are placed outside of Wake County. And that in large part is in due to lack of families in the area. Mm. And even with the existing families that are doing foster care in Wake County, they're very thankful for them, but a lot of them are just, you know how large Wake County is. So a lot of them are on the outside circle of Wake County, so kind of far. But a lot of the kids are from the downtown center Wake County area, and so they desperately need families in this area to foster so that these kids can stay in their schools, that they can stay at their doctors, that they can, in the midst of so much transition, that they can have some things that still look the same. But then also, like, just having like Christians come in and do these roles and advocate for families to like be for reunification and be supportive of families and be cheering for them. A mom whose child has been taken, she thinks she's a bad person at all times. She's constantly told that. So to have Christians in these roles where it's like, I'm going to champion you and support mm-hmm. you, that's also huge. And obviously there's going to be situations where that's not in the best interest of the child. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of my role as a guardian ad litem, is looking at these situations. And you always want to go with the best interest of the child. But to have Christians in these roles of like, we're going to love on everybody that's involved in this. I've just heard a lot of cool stories. My home church in Sanford, which is where I'm from, there are a number of people fairly involved in foster care there. And like to see how, like, when they're going to the parent child meetings, how much they like love on the parents and how significant that's been. It's just been really cool to observe that. And so basically there's this need to bring a lot of these kids back to Wake County and back to kind of some middle areas that make life a little less hectic than it already has to be anyways, just because of their situation. I met with them. They're very excited, and I'm hopeful that like years from now we look back and see those numbers are lower or declining because churches in the area stepped up to fill those spaces. Talking about this, we're not saying that everyone should bring a child in their home, but everyone can play a role in foster care. I've been processing in my brain even how to love on the women that are the social workers there. They're so exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, they have, 20 to 30 cases a person, and you have home visits every month and court and all these things. So I was like, even like once a month that we had a community group sign up to take them lunches. Just I have lots of things in my brain. But even if there are people in our church who hopefully decide to foster, that like their community groups or their close community will come around them and be the people that bring them diapers in the middle of the night mm-hmm. or bring them clothes until they're able to get the resources that they need. And also having people step up to be guardian ad litems. Every kid has to have one. And so, you're looking at 800 kids right now that need them. And there's constantly new kids coming in and coming out. And so it's a huge need, and it's a very minimal commitment, but it's a rewarding experience. So I'm hopeful that, talking about this, that everybody will feel that they can be involved somehow.
If people want to learn more about how to get involved, I guess there's going to be an information session here at Vintage coming up.
Yeah, so May 26th, 12:30 to 2:30, down in the 1880 room, we're going to have, most of the time is going to be one of the social workers from Wake County talking about being a foster parent, but we'll have a nugget from someone from the guardian ad litem department as well. And they're going to be sharing just information. There's no commitment. Just about the process, when the next classes are, what it looks like to be a foster parent. Mm-hmm. And then we're hoping even in that to like be able to come on board with whoever's at that meeting to support them.
Yeah.
So like I already have a college student who's been real excited to help me, Lauren Clark, give her a little shout out on here. And so just knowing that like people don't have to be fearful to go into this unknown territory, that we're hoping to provide a lot of support and a lot of questions. And so from that meeting, people can hear more about how to move forward if sure. they want to, or just have questions answered, or even if you're the slightest bit curious, just come yeah. and hear. Yeah.
It sounds like it'd be a great thing, even if you don't really know if it's right for you, but
right.
maybe it is for other people in your life or in your community group. And
yeah, that's a good point. You can always go, and then you can be even an advocate yourself if you right. learn a little bit more about it.
Right.
Also, if there's, I always think there's always the fear of the unknown. Like if you right. don't know anything about it, then you can't really,
right.
you know, you're really not comfortable with it. So if it's not right for you now, maybe it's right for someone else, like you said, Jennifer, yeah. and maybe it's worth coming out and, well, it is worth coming out and just
yeah.
learn more about it.
Yeah, because I guess with foster care, most of the kids' idea is to place them back with their family sure. when it becomes more stable or right. whatever the situation might be.
Yeah, for reunification them. Is always the hope. In Wake mm-hmm. County, that's always going to be what they're going after first.
Yeah.
Even in my guardian ad litem work, no matter what, I always have to put that as the first option,
yeah.
regardless if it seems totally crazy. But everybody deserves a chance to get their life together and to, and meanwhile the child's safe, you know, yeah. during all that. But
so folks that have a heart for it, that want to love and help this community, there's a couple ways to do it. You can, if you're looking to grow your family permanently, there's mm-hmm. the opportunity to do an adoption mm-hmm. like you guys did with ASA, or you can get inside of the fostering community mm-hmm. as well. I guess as we're signing off, is there anything that you'd want the Vintage community to know about the process and I guess what you've gone through? And
yeah, I mean, I would just challenge people to know that this just isn't something that we need to kind of sit idly by and watch other people do, but it's something that we need to step up to, because all throughout scripture, God does talk about loving orphans and vulnerable people and vulnerable children and families. And so I would just challenge myself included and all of us just to look at our lives and see where we're choosing comfort over stepping into hard places, and just see if this is a way that God could potentially use all of us to further his kingdom here and love our city well.
Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah, and like you guys have said, there's so many ways to get involved. If maybe fostering or adopting, it might not be right for your family, but there's so many ways to, you know, support people in the Vintage community and the guardian ad litem and all of that stuff. So there's something for everybody to do.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story with us today. It was enlightening, and I'm glad we got a chance to sit down.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, thanks.